Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Prem se kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopinath Sri Mukunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan ki jai. Sri Vrindavan Dham ki jai. Sri Navadvipa Dham ki jai. Ganga Mayi ki jai. Jamuna Mayi ki jai. Bhakti Devi ki jai, Tulsi Devi ki jai, Samaveda Bhakti Vindi ki jai. All glories to some of the Bhaktis. All glories to some of the Bhaktis. All glories to some of the Bhaktis. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Samanita Namane. Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pracharane Nivasesha Sunyavadi Prashkati Devita. Om Gyanata Mirandasya Janadana Salakaya Saksu Sumilitan Zena Chasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manuvistam Stapitam Zena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sahapandantikam Vansa Kapatubhyascha Kipatindu bhai bacha patitinam bhavane vyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Now the children, if they were a little bit quieter, if their parents would make sure they're quiet, then I would be able to tell you if the parents of the children could make sure they are quiet. Otherwise, it's better if they play outside. Because what I wanted to do is tell you something very deep, but somewhat philosophical. So philosophy and playing children don't always go so easily together. Today, of course, is the appearance day of Lord Nrisimhadev. Just consider that that the Lord himself came so angry to protect one devotee. Just to protect one devotee, Krishna himself came in the form of Lord Nrisimhadev. So how much affection Krishna or the Lord has for his devotees. It is said that that the Lord's devotees are even more powerful than Krishna himself. Is there a mat for, is there another mat over here? Sri Madanga has a mat, but the Madanga player doesn't. But then you also have to have something. That the devotees are even more powerful than the unlimitedly powerful. That the devotees are even more powerful than the unlimitedly powerful Supreme Lord, because they can capture him and they place him under their control. So, Lord Nrisimhadev, practically speaking, in just a few moments, even though Hiranyakashipu was so powerful, Lord Nrisimhadev finished him. He killed him. He took him upon his lap and ripped him apart. Just in a few moments. And this great burden upon the earth, Hiranyakashipu, who had terrorized practically the whole universe, he was finished. The saga of Hiranyakashipu had reached its ending. But the pastime continues. Now, there is one verse which I don't know so well. It begins, Tarka Pratishta Shrutiya Vibhina, and then the rest of the verse describes how you won't be able to find the Lord, the Supreme Lord,
by logic, by argument, by karma, by work. But there is a way to find him. He's quite well hidden. And where is he hidden? He's hidden in the hearts of his devotees. And therefore the verse from the Mahabharata ends that we should follow the path chalked out by the devotees. So Krishna is in their hearts. And if we want to find Krishna, we have to understand the mood of the devotees. We have to find out how they think. But how it's so difficult to find out how anyone is really thinking. What to speak of. And usually the people of this world, we live on a very superficial level, not thinking very deeply at all. But these exalted souls who we are supposed to follow, we have to know their hearts very deeply. But how can we, who perhaps are not so deep, understand the depths of the heart of someone who is so deep? And one way to understand these depths, so we understand how they think, how, and therefore which is the key to how they act, is if we can get them to speak their hearts and we listen very carefully, then what is the jewels that are in their heart will be transferred to us through the process of it coming out of their mouths and then into our ears and then actually into our own hearts. This is the basic process of Krishna consciousness. It begins with Shravanam and then Kirtanam. It begins with hearing. And what are we supposed to hear? We are supposed to hear the deepest secrets that are kept hidden within the hearts of the devotees, and those secrets, truly speaking, are the jewels of existence. Because every other valuable thing in this world, it comes into existence. We may grab it for some time, But Lakshmi Devi is chanchal. She's always flickering. She is moving from one place to another. We can grab wealth, but we cannot hold on to it. If nothing else, we have to leave this world. And we leave this world at the time of death with nothing more than we came into this world with. But these jewels that are within the hearts of the devotees and come out of their lotus-like mouths. These jewels, if we can capture them through hearing attentively, they will enter our heart and they will remain eternally. And not only that, they will grow. Jewels like this, they grow if they are taken care of properly. They only grow and never diminish. So therefore, I would like to speak a little bit about what happened after Lord Nrisimhadev killed Hiranyakashipu, and what caused Prahlad Maharaj, the great devotee whose consciousness was so attractive. This devotee was so appealing to Lord Nrisimhadev that the Lord himself came to protect him. He had there was something in his consciousness that was so appealing to that Supreme Lord that the Lord himself came to protect him. And here we are in the material world feeling quite unprotected. It's a dangerous place. Padam padam yad vipadam natesham. The material world is a dangerous place, and the poet Govindadas compares our situation in the material world to water, a drop of water on the leaf of a lotus in the water, and the lotus petal has waxy surface, so at any moment that drop of water can fall off, and in the same way, at any moment, we can also totter off whatever position, illusory position we are thinking is our security. What do we consider our security? We know when we walk out the door of our house, what do we make sure that we have? The keys, the mobile phone. Oh, yes. If we don't have it, what will happen to us? What to speak of our credit cards? I mean, just what would happen if something terrible happened in this world, and then we don't have if an atomic bomb fell on our head and we don't have our credit card or our mobile phone with us, what will we do? Where will we turn for shelter? But real shelter comes from the lotus feet of Krishna. And Prahlad Maharaj is one of those souls who has captured those lotus feet tightly in his heart. And he will speak. But when Lord Nrisingadev appeared, he came, he was very angry at Hiranyakashipu. And no one could quell and quiet his anger. And the greatest of the devatas, the demigods, the most pure, powerful persons in this world, in existence, in this universe, they spoke very sweet words, trying to make him more peaceful because he was so angry, they were frightened. But none of them could get his anger to diminish. So Lord Brahma, who had spoken himself, but could not quell the Lord's anger, Lord Nrisingadev's anger, he was very intelligent. And he said, Prahlad, you go forward. You pacify Lord Nrisingadev. Why did he send Prahlad forward? It's because anger and affection cannot exist simultaneously in the same place at the same time. When we're angry, there is no affection in our heart. And when there is affection, when the heart is soft and melted by affection, there cannot be anger. So Lord Brahma, being Lord Brahma, Brahma means the greatest. He was the greatest in this universe, the greatest intellect. He knew how things worked. So he gently suggested to Prahlad and pushed him forward, because Prahlad, he did not feel himself at all qualified, as will come out in a few moments, to please speak some words and make Lord Nrisingadev peaceful. So what I will do, and here's where the philosophy begins, I will read some of Prahlad's prayers. Please listen carefully. See what is in Prahlad's heart. And see if some of those jewels, through your very attentive hearing and his kind speaking and Srila Prabhupada's kind translations, see if some of those jewels can enter your own heart. And rather than just simply theoretically learning something, but see if there are things that you can practically apply in your own life that will bring you, that will cause your life to come closer to Krishna's lotus feet, which ultimately are our only shelter in this world. And we try to find so many other shelters, but they are, the word for shelter in Sanskrit is asraya. And the word for false shelter is durasraya. Things that we consider shelters, but actually they don't have the capacity to give us the shelter that we so much long for. The security. Trying to cross the ocean of material existence, taking shelter of something that doesn't have the capacity. Srila Prabhupada compared to, and sometimes you see this part of it in Port Phillip, our very own Port Phillip Bay, is you see a dog swimming. And if there's a dog swimming and someone wants to cross the ocean by holding on to the tail of the dog, You can do better than that with the spirit of Tasmaniaship, but everything falls short unless it is truly a shelter in Lord Nisringadev's feet, as are the feet of Sisi Konatai and Sisi Radhabalava and Jagannath Balabhadev Subhadra Devi and the exalted devotees. They really have the capacity to bring us across. So let me read what Prahlad said to Lord Nisringadev. And immediately, without him even speaking a word, when Lord Nisringadev saw him, his heart melted and his anger went away. Affection blossomed in his heart. And then he touched Prahlad with his lotus lion-like hand, perhaps, with its claws. He touched Prahlad upon the head very gently. And with the touch of the Lord, the all-powerful Supreme Lord, who was unlimitedly angry before, but now was unlimitedly affectionate to Prahlad, by the touch of the Lord's lotus hand, all knowledge, all purity came to Prahlad. And that which was in his heart could come out so effortlessly. The first thing that he said was... Now, what I'm going to do is sort of read and paraphrase the verses, because I wanted to connect them together for you so that you will have a feel for what Prahlad was thinking. And we won't be able to read all of the verses in his prayers. Let's see how many we can read. We'll start at the very beginning. But I won't read them all, and perhaps I will just paraphrase some and not read them and paraphrase them. Actually, the Bhagavatam says that when Prahlad was touched with the same claws, the same hand whose claws had ripped apart Lord Nisringadev, when Prahlad's head was touched in the form of a blessing by those same hands, claws of Lord Nisringadev, ecstasy manifested in his body. His heart filled with love. It was already filled with love, but it overflowed with love. Tears came out of his eyes. And thus he began to speak. And thus, Srila Sukadev Goswami says when narrating this, by the power of his love, he was able to capture the lotus feet of the Lord within his heart. It is only love, devotion. It is not knowledge. It is not work. It is not achievement. It is bhakti. Bhakti mam nabhajananti. Bhakti can capture the lotus feet in his heart. And if you understand the analogy, if the lotus feet, if someone's feet are firmly situated in a place, where can he go? If his feet are secure in a place, he will stay in that place. He cannot go anywhere. He cannot take one step away from that place if his feet are captured. And Prahlad had captured the Lord's feet in his heart. So he had the Lord in his heart. Not by force, but by perhaps the force of his devotion, the force of his love. So first Prahlad said, how is it possible for me to satisfy you, my dear Lord, when all these exalted souls, these devatas, these demigods have failed to do so? Who am I? I am born in such a low family. I am the son of Hiranyakashipu, who challenged the very authority of the Lord. I have no qualification. I am contaminated by passion, by ignorance. And you, the great demigods who are here, they could not satisfy the Lord, although they have so much goodness in them. And look at me. Prahlad was so humble. I am not qualified. I am not qualified to be the one speaking now. So, it is one of the ironies of spiritual life that those who feel them, who are devoted, but feel themselves so unqualified, that itself becomes a great qualification. The feeling of disqualification, because then so much sincere pleading for mercy comes from the heart. If I think, yes, I am so qualified, what do I need you for, Krishna? I'm so qualified. That's the hidden part is I don't really need you. I don't really need mercy. So to those who are extremely humble, and Srila Sanatana Goswami explains that dainya or humility is actually no different from prema or love, because it attracts, just like the negative pole of a magnet attracts the positive pole. Similarly, the positive of love is attracted to the seemingly negative of humility. And humility is based upon seeing one's fallen condition. And seeing every gift that we have is simply that, a gift. It is not mine. And it's not for me to be proud of it. Because as it has come by mercy, it can be taken in a moment, a half a moment. So Prahlad was thinking like this, who am I to, when these great devatas have not been able to pacify you, who am I? And then he explains that even if someone is so purely in goodness, a brahmana, who has so much goodness and has all the good qualities of a brahmana, if he doesn't have bhakti, he cannot satisfy you. What to speak of evoke the softness of affection from your heart. And on the other hand, someone who has no external qualification, if he has bhakti, Prahlad says, he will be able to satisfy you. And that so-called brahmana who is proud of his position, and this is the great danger of being very gifted by the Lord with qualifications, there's such a strong tendency to think they are mine. And look at this person over here, he doesn't have what I have, what to speak of this person over here. And look, pride enters the heart. And then when one is proud, one cannot purify oneself, what to speak of, help others. So he continues. And in the middle of his prayer, in that prayer he says, but even someone of the lowest birth, but has dedicated everything, mind, word, activities, wealth, and life to the Supreme Lord, he is the best of living entities, the best of persons. The Supreme Lord, by definition, he possesses everything. He is self-satisfied. He is the supreme Atmarama. His satisfaction is within. He is composed of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. He has no desires because he's fully satisfied. And yet, he accepts gifts offered by his devotees. When we offer prayers to him, Prahlad is going to say, when we offer prayers, when we come and offer fruit or flour or water, what does the unlimitedly wealthy Supreme Lord need with either prayers or water or leaves or a flower? But when the devotee with devotion. A devotee means one who possesses devotion. Bhakti is possessed by the bhakta. When he even offers one leaf, Asnami Paratapana, the Lord wants to accept it. His hunger increases for that leaf. Because it's being offered for his pleasure with devotion. So, he is fully satisfied in himself. He doesn't need service from anyone. But it is for the person who offers the service, it is he who has benefited from the service. And then Prahlad gives a very wonderful example. If one looks in the mirror and decorates the mirror image, oh yes, I should do it nicely. If I decorate the mirror image, automatically the person is beautified by the decorations. He's looking in the mirror and trying to decorate the mirror image, but he himself has benefited. So similarly, when we offer some decoration, some leaf, some flower, some fruit, some water to Krishna, it is not Krishna who is, because he already is the unlimited possessor of everything. It is not he who has benefited. It is not that he is in need, but it is the one who offers prayers, sincere prayers. Oh Lord, please accept this rice. Please accept this flower that I have brought it. I have brought this for you. If you would accept it, it is my great fortune. So Prahlad continues. And therefore, he says, because it is bhakti that is the essence. It is devotion. And my Lord, I love you. I am your devotee. I have even spoken to my father who was against you about you. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Vishnu. And I've even tried to advise him to take shelter of you. Because I have such trust in you. Prahlad was in the most dangerous situation. If one's protector, one's father, own father decides to crush you, what can a small child do? So Prahlad was in the most dangerous situation, but anxiety was absent from him because his faith and trust was completely in Krishna. Mare Krishna Rakeke. Everything has vanished. That was the second part. Rake Krishna Mareke. If Krishna wants to protect someone, who can harm such a person? And on the other hand, if Krishna wants to harm a person, who can protect him? So Prahlad was saying, in his humble way, that even though I have no qualification being the son of this great demon, born in a family possessed, contaminated by so much passion, so much ignorance, but yet I can offer prayers to you. I can offer prayers to you. As far as I have my capacity, I can offer prayers to you with my full heart. I can speak your glories with a full endeavor, as far as my capacity is. And anyone who has been forced by ignorance to enter the material world is compared to a prison house. That's where the criminals who have broken the law, that's where they are forced to live. Anyone, Prahlad said, anyone can be purified of the faults that keep us in the material world, that keep us suffering. if he simply offers prayers to the Lord and hears the Lord's glories. This process of praying to the Lord and Sisi Gornatai, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Devi, and Sisi Radhabalava Srila Prabhupada brought them here just so we could come and make offerings to them. Not because they need offerings, but because I need the purification of offering prayers to them, of offering something, some paisa to them, or offering some fruit or flower, anything. I need the purification. And what that does, it purifies my heart. I need to hear about their glories. It is not that they are like kings who hire professional reciters to come and speak their glories, and then that they smile and say, yes, now everyone can hear how glorious I am. And they need it to boost their prestige and to boost their self-esteem. It's not that Krishna has low self-esteem, some psychological defect or something like that. And unless we serve him and unless we pray to him, we can't be happy. So he's created us in such a way that because he needs that or something like that. No, it is for our benefit. And the heart becomes so purified by approaching the Lord and praying to him. So Prahlad is saying, so therefore, anyone in any condition, if he prays to Krishna, if he prays to you, O Lord, his heart will be purified and he will be benefited. And your coming to this world, my dear Lord Nisringadev, you have come here for your own pleasure. And you've come here to improve the world and protect the world. And you've come here to perform pastimes that if we hear about them and glorify you, we are benefited. And Krishna, it is described in the Bhagavatam that Krishna specifically performs his pastimes, especially his pastimes in Sri Vrindavan Dham, to attract the minds of the criminals who live in the material world. It's me. Who have turned their back on Krishna. Who have turned their back on their father, their lover, the Supreme Lord, and therefore the result of that turning their back and wanting to be the center of things themselves is that we live in an illusory world where we are the center of things. And it can only be an illusory world because it's against reality. Because we are not the center of things. He is the center of things. So anyone, Krishna comes specifically to perform his pastimes and specifically his Vrindavan Leela to attract our minds away from the reflection of reality to reality itself and taste the difference and to be able to develop a higher taste, a positive alternative to material life, which promises like advertising, if you buy this, if you do this, you'll get so much happiness, but actually delivers only the taste of ashes. Has anyone tasted some ashes? Maybe we should supply some at the Sunday feast today. Oh, not the Sunday feast today. No. Here we won't get the taste of ashes. We'll get the taste of gulab jamuns if you don't have a sugar problem. And samosa if you don't have a high cholesterol problem. But all varieties of rasa. Rasa means taste, after all. All the tastes are there. The real tastes are there in the spiritual realm. And here, there is a mirror, the reflection in the material world, in the prison. There is the reflection of the tastiness of the spiritual world. And here we are with our back turned towards the spiritual world and trying to eat the feast in the mirror and just thinking that this looks good, but there is nothing there. But I try again and again, just like these birds who see the reflection of the other bird in the mirror and they fight it and peck at it and peck at it and get terrible headaches doing that all day long. And from that, the expression bird brain was born, I think. But we are all like that. We are criminals and bird brains because we are trying to taste the sweetness of the big feast in the reflected image, the mirror image. And Prahlad says, no, don't do that. So your pastimes, my dear Lord, are you come to exhibit spiritual activities so we have something to think about and learn. He says in the next verse, now everyone, hearing of how you have protected me by killing Lord by killing Hiranyakashipu, everyone can be confident of their happiness. And they will always remember your auspicious incarnation in order to be free from fear. Please listen to Prabhupada's purport. The most important point in this verse, that after hearing the pastimes of how Lord Nisringadev killed Hiranyakashipu, and then hearing the words of Prahlad Maharaj and hearing Prabhupada's purport, we can capture a jewel that is so important to everyone. The most important point in this verse, and when Prabhupada says the most important point in this verse, we should all sit up a little bit and listen carefully, is that although saintly persons never desire the killing of any living entity, they take pleasure in the killing of envious living entities like snakes and scorpions. Hiranyakashipu was killed because he was worse than a snake or a scorpion. And therefore, everyone who observed this or heard about it was happy. Now there was no need for the Lord to be angry. Hiranyakashipu had been killed. So the devotees can always remember the form of Lord Nisringadev when they are in danger. And therefore, the appearance of Nisringadev was not at all inauspicious. It was the most auspicious. The Lord's appearance is always worshipable and auspicious for all sane persons and devotees. So two categories, sane persons or devotees. He continues. And this verse is very... I've heard Prabhupada speak on it in Sridhar Mayapur in 1976. My Lord, because Lord Nisringadev was so ferocious looking, lions are so ferocious, they have a shakti, a potency, that when they roar, even if they are in the zoo, it brings some fear and terror into the heart. And Lord Nisringadev came in the form of half lion and half man, Narasingha, half man, half lion. So, but Prahlad looked at him with his eyes that were so much influenced by the love in his heart, because what we see is dependent upon our consciousness, not according to the external reality. We don't see with our eyes, actually. We see with our heart, with our consciousness. We don't see reality. We see with our concept of reality. And Prahlad was so much in love with the Supreme Lord, with Lord Nisringadev, he said, I am certainly not, or you who are not conquered by anyone, you are Ajita. I am certainly not afraid of your ferocious mouth and tongue. Because the Lord's mouth was ferocious and his tongue was going in and out. Your eyes that are bright like the sun, I'm not afraid of that, or your frowning eyebrows. I do not fear even your sharp teeth. nor your mane, which is covered with blood, nor your high wedge-like ears, nor do I fear your loud roaring, or your nails, which have killed Hiranyakashipu. Looking at him, I am not looking at you, my Lord. I am not fearful of all these things that give fear to anyone. But does that mean that Prahlad was not afraid of anything? No. He says, he will say now what he is afraid of. Please listen. O most powerful, insurmountable Lord, who are kind to the fallen souls, I have been put into the association of demons, of asuras, of those who have such qualities that by in their association they have infect and affect my heart, and all their desires by their association enter into my heart. And I've been put into that association because I've done things in previous lives or in this life that caused me to be in that association. And therefore, I am very much afraid of my condition of life, because my tendency in this world is to want to enjoy and enjoy and enjoy and cultivate greed and lust and anger. And I am put into the kind of association that causes those qualities to increase within me. When will that day come, O Lord? When will that moment come when you will call me to the shelter of your lotus feet, which are the ultimate goal for liberation from conditioned life? When will I actually take your lotus feet into my heart? When will I actually, by your mercy, become a devotee? When, oh when, O Lord, in my heart will your mercy shine? I am afraid of the material world, and because of that, I cling to your lotus feet. And there's so much suffering in the material world, he continues. And the cures that everyone is recommending for that suffering are worse than the suffering itself. They end up entangling you, me, even further. So kindly, so therefore, I've concluded that the only actual remedy is not what the world is telling me to do that will solve all my problems, but it is only to engage in your service. So kindly, I beg you to instruct me how I can serve you. And then, in the last verse we'll read, I'll read the remedy that Lord Nisringadev has inspired to come out of his mouth. The remedy, the instruction that will infallibly, what does infallibly mean? A synonym for infallibly? Without fail, undoubtedly, carry us to the lotus feet of Krishna, which is the true shelter. So these words are the words that Prahlad says. Oh, my Lord Nisringadeva, and this will be the final verse we'll read. By engaging in your transcendental loving service, in the association of devotees, who are liberated souls, who are hunses, I shall become completely uncontaminated by the association of the three modes of material nature and be able to chant the glories of your lordship, who is so dear to me. I shall chant your glories, following exactly in the footsteps of Lord Brahma and his disciplic succession. In this day, in this way, I shall undoubtedly be able to cross the ocean of ignorance, which is so painful. When we're young, we sort of dream that life is going to be like this and life is going to be like that, and it's, and I'll have the perfect this and the perfect that, and everything will work my way, and the whole universe will organize itself around fulfilling all my desires. And then when one is somewhat experienced and even elderly, that one's knees and teeth and eyes and back and everything hurts so much that one even can't begin thinking of the perfect world in the same way, with the same material ambition. So this material world is an ocean of ignorance. And the process that Prahlad Maharaj has recommended so strongly to cross over it is in the association of devotees who are very sincere in engaging in his Krishna service. I will purify my heart in their association by, of all the contaminations I have, others may not know, but I know what's in my heart. So much ignorance, so much passion, so much inappropriate desires. I will purify all those from my heart, and my heart will be clean enough. And then I will truly be able to chant your glories with a full heart. With a full heart, I will chant your holy names in ecstasy. Anande bolo hari bhaja vrindavan, Sri Guru Vaishnava pare maja yaman. I will chant the glories of your lordship who are so dear to me. I shall chant your glories. I shall chant your glories. And in this way, I shall cross the ocean of essence. So now, we will chant the glories of the Lord, and we will participate by chanting and by chanting sincerely with an open heart, requesting Lord Nisringadeva for mercy, requesting Sisi Gornatai for mercy, sincerely chanting, calling out to the Lord with a full heart, calling out to Radha Balava, Jagannath Baladev, Subhajadevi, to Srila Prabhupada, to the great Vaishnavas, please allow me, please accept me as yours, as your servant. Okay, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Please let us. Who is leading the kirtan now? During the is there a kirtan during the Abhishek? Who is leading the kirtan? Anyway, let the kirtan begin. Whatever is meant to lead it, begin. I would like to very much, but I've already completed my kirtan. Yes. It's like Lord Brahma pushing Prahlad forward.
Yodhi Mataji.